through the different attributes of the Lord. We're going to talk about the wisdom of God tonight. If you are watching online, if you would just put in the comments there that you're watching and how many from your household are watching. That way we can take attendance as we are live. Of course, that won't help us if you comment today or tomorrow as our or later on tonight as our video will be on our Facebook page. But if you're watching right now, please let us know and we can take attendance that way as we are live streaming. But we're excited that you're watching and being a part of our service. And of course, we still have some more pews available if you are healthy and at no risk to anyone else or yourself. We'd love to invite you to one of our services. Sunday morning, I thought about changing the front sign. I never thought I'd promote church this way. We have some reusable cloth masks that were given to us, and they're new. I thought about putting on the church sign, you know, free mass to all visitors. Of course, I never thought I'd use that as a promotion. But we'll pass those out to everyone that comes on Sunday morning. So we'll have enough. We had 50 that were given to us by the county to help out churches. So we'll pass those on. And, of course, they've got a little metal rib there in the front so you can wash it, reuse it, and help form it to you. But I'd rather wear one of those than the medical ones because those don't breathe. Amen. As they get too hot when I wear them, but at least the cloth ones are a little bit cooler. Yes, on Sunday, you come to church, we'll give you a mask. And so I never thought I would ever say that or even attempt to probably promote that. Hopefully that can be a blessing as many places you cannot go without one. I'm glad that as a Christian, we don't have to live by fear. We don't have to, of course, we got to be smart. We got to be wise stewards of our bodies and of course, in dealing with others. But we don't have to let fear control us because we have God's word and the promises and blessings and security in which we can find from these truths. As we look at the attributes of God, of course, as we continue in looking at what God's word says about himself, some of the things in which we can know, help us better to know who God is. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 6. We're going to start here, and of course I've got a lot of other verses in which I'm going to refer to. Maybe you can go back and look them up later or write them down. Some verses I'll read, but for the sake of time, we cannot get through all of that if I'm going to get out of here on time. Now it's 7:27, so let's see. We'll try to get out by 8 o'clock. You're about right. 7:28 sounds good. As we looked last week, and boy, I thoroughly enjoyed the fact that God is truth. Everything about God is true. Tonight, I want to take a look at Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 6. It says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." You know, when we look at Scripture, we understand that God is all wise. God is everything that God does, not only as we over the last few weeks, everything that God does is holy. Everything that God does or is truth. Everything that God does is wise and is in wisdom. God does nothing foolish. Now, you don't have to look very far to understand how foolish man can be. You can turn on the television or look up some YouTube videos, maybe America's funniest videos, of course. You'll see plenty of foolish people. Maybe all you have to do is look around at your work and you'll see some foolish people or neighborhood kids down the street or maybe look in the mirror. We've all done some pretty foolish things. I'm sure we would all agree to that. It's if you say, well, how do I know if it's foolish? Well, when you do something and you have to look around to see if anybody saw you, that's pretty much to think, oh, I'm glad no one was listening, or I'm glad no one was watching. We do foolish things as human beings, some more than others, and some make a living out of it, but everything that God does, you know, God's never looked back at something he did or something that he has done and say, oh, man, I made a mistake. I designed that wrong. And as we look at creation and we wonder, you know, why did the Lord make that? Or you've looked at some bugs or some creatures and you think, oh, God must have made a mistake. No, God's never made a mistake. God is all wise. And we look and we think, you know, why did God make the mosquito? Or why did God make the ant? Or why did God make the buzzard? God has a plan, and he has a reason for which and everything in which he's created, and he has a purpose and a plan for you. You might look in the mirror. You might think about your own self. Maybe where your mom and dad don't even know that you think, you know, thinking God made a mistake of putting me in this family, or God made a mistake in how he made me, or even some might try to say that God made a mistake to make you a boy or a girl, and he should have made you another gender. No, God did not make any mistakes. God made you perfectly the way he wanted you to be, because God doesn't do anything foolish. God is all wise. He is all truth. He is all wisdom, and he is all holy. God does never look back and say, oh, I wish I never did that. He doesn't have regrets. You and I, we have regrets. We look back on our days and say, oh, I did something that I'm just ashamed of. God's never had to be ashamed. He's never been shamed, and God is, in his wisdom, we find that for the Lord giveth wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. What a adjective there to describe. If we want to know more about God and who God is, we know he's immortal, he's invisible, he's King eternal, and he's the only wise God. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Jude chapter 25. The only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. As you read through the book of Proverbs, of course, the book on wisdom, as you see, as Solomon is trying to give wisdom to his son to raise him up to be a godly husband, to be a godly father, to be a godly ruler, and to be a godly servant of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 8, you see a lot, as Proverbs 8 talks a lot about wisdom as it's personified and taught, and understand wisdom a little bit better. And of course, for the sake of time, we will not read through Proverbs chapter 8. But as we look at wisdom and understand wisdom a little bit better, as we know that the Bible says the only wise God twice in 1 Timothy 1:17 and Jude 25. There's something to the fact, as we look in Scripture, that wisdom comes from God, and wisdom is God. God is wisdom. The verse that gives you the best definition of wisdom, of course, Proverbs 2:6, knowledge plus understanding is what wisdom is. Wisdom is taking that knowledge and understanding that knowledge. There's a lot of people who have knowledge, but they're fools. There's a lot of people, just knowing things doesn't make you smart. Knowing what to do with that knowledge is wisdom. It's that understanding that equals wisdom. And only God knows all. We might be a know-it-all, or we might know a know-it-all. You've used that maybe on the playground growing up as a kid. You're just a know-it-all. You're the teacher's pet. Of course, no one ever said that to me, and I'm a little offended that. But as you go through life, there might be people who think they're a know-it-all. And you might even think that even Google knows it all, but nothing is compared to the fact that only God knows all, knows everything, and understands everything. For us to increase in wisdom If God is wisdom, and wisdom comes from his mouth, then you and I, we need to know the Lord. And that's why I've been wanting to go through this series of knowing the attributes of God and knowing God a little bit better. Because if we're going to know wisdom, we first have to know the Lord. Because wisdom comes from God. And if we're going to increase in our knowledge and we're going to increase in our understanding, we're going to increase in that we've got to notice as we look in verse 6, out of his mouth, if wisdom comes out of his mouth, the best place to get wisdom is from the Word of God, as God has given us his book. What we need in Washington, D.C. is this book. What we need, you know, the college right down the street, Rollins College, in their library, back when that college was founded, you know, in their library, they had two books. They had a dictionary and they had a Bible. Honestly, that's the only two books you really need in a library to think that college, how far they've come today. But that's when I heard that as we went through the river, the little five rivers there in Winter Park. You take the river tour. The tour guide, when we went under the little bridge and Rollins College was on this side, shared that little bit of interesting news or information. I thought, wow, to think all these colleges that started, many of them started with many times just a dictionary and the Word of God. But because wisdom comes from the Word of God. No wonder that Rollins College is ranked so high in MBA's degrees within our country because it had the Word of God primarily as 50% of their library. Because wisdom comes from God's Word. If we want to be wise people, if we want to be a wise church, if we want to be wise parents or wise children, we've got to look and know God's Word, because knowing God's Word is to know wisdom, because God is wisdom. Out of his mouth, the best place, the Word of God. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Any wisdom we might have, it's not that we can sit and brag on ourselves and say, you know what, I'm pretty wise. I'm pretty wise to make this wealth. I'm pretty wise to train my children. I'm pretty wise in my choices and decisions. No, any wisdom we have comes from God. Any wisdom in which we might obtain, if we want more, all we have to do is simply ask. As we ask the Lord, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And of course, we know that God is not he'll not give wisdom to one and not to another. He's not going to withhold that wisdom. He's not going to give. He gives it equally and fairly. But the fear of the Lord in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, and living in that healthy, respectful fear. If we want more, asking, we cannot begin to have wisdom until we know the Lord. We cannot to think, if you go back to the time and place where you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're on the first step to obtaining wisdom. Those in this world who think they're smart, they think they're wise, and they make proclamations and declarations, but they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, there's some wise, so-called wise scholars and in the sense of theologians in this world that have declared that God's not real. The Bible says they're a fool. Because the beginning of all wisdom is to know the Lord and to look into his Word. If you were to take an empty bottle and cork it up and throw it into the ocean, it would stay there, it would bob, it would flow, but that ocean would not go into that bottle. The only way in which we can have wisdom, we're not going to get it from television, we're not going to get it from the internet, we're not going to get it from our friends or any other book. The only way we can obtain wisdom is through that one channel of opening up our heart and our mind and our lives to God's Word, through Sunday school, through the teaching of God's Word, through the preaching of God's Word, and through the personal devotions and the reading of God's Word, as the Holy Spirit makes those words and pages come alive as we understand how God wants us to live and how to live in this life. Wisdom is it will only flow where there's a clear entrance to it, and that is opening our minds and our hearts to the Lord, but there has to be that salvation there. Because how can we understand the things of the Lord if our eyes are blinded to the things of God, in which Scripture will tell us? James chapter 1, verse 5, again, I'll read the whole verse. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. There's a promise if we'll ask. How many times in my life I've had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what to do here. I don't know how to fix this problem. I don't know how to fix this situation. I don't know how to handle this. God, I need your wisdom. And every day that we parent our children is a day we need to ask. Every time we face a new situation, every time we face a new day, every time we live another breath, we must ask for wisdom. But Scripture promises if we'll ask, He'll give it. Wisdom is receiving from God. And Scripture tells us in Proverbs 3, verse 13 through 15, it's far more worth, more valuable than rubies or gold or silver or anything that this world holds as precious or priceless. Wisdom is far beyond that. It's the principal thing in life to receive. You know, in this world, you know, a big retirement or a big house or a big car or a big retirement party or 1,000 followers on your Instagram account. You know, whatever it is that you've finally arrived in this world. You know, you've arrived in this world when you obtain wisdom. When you obtain wisdom from the Lord, it is the principal thing to have. In this life, there will be principal things in which you must have or obtain in this life to, as you've seen the bumper stickers, you know, the one who with the most toys wins. That's not the reality. The one who obtains wisdom from God's word is the winner or the true winner or the goal it should be in the life of a young person. I want to be successful one day, or I want to be famous, or I want to be wealthy. I want to do this and this. How many kids I've over the years, I want to be a professional baseball player, a basketball or a football star. I want to be popular. I want to be able to do this and this and this. You know, the thing, the goal in our life should be, I want to be wise with God's wisdom. I want God's word to flow through me so that I can make wise decisions like Solomon made. I want to do God's will. I want to obtain God's wisdom. We must ask for it, and the only way we can obtain it is from the Lord. And He'll give to us bountifully. Wisdom is knowledge and understanding applied to every area of our life. We need knowledge. We need wisdom in every area of our life. If you're a husband or a wife, you need that wisdom to be a good spouse and to go through life together as two become one. Boy, you've got two personalities, two different wills, two different ways of deciding or decision making that now have to become one. You're going to need wisdom in making that marriage work. As a parent, you're going to need wisdom in helping raise your children. And not all children are the same. You've got what works for one child may not work for another. You say, well, I'll just discipline them. Well, one child, you may discipline them again and again and again, and that may not be working. You'll have to have wisdom to be able to come up with a different way to reach that child's heart or to get in to where you break their will but not their spirit. It's going to take wisdom. It's going to take wisdom as you deal with lost co-workers and trying to reach them for Christ. You'll need wisdom in every area of life. As we look at Scripture, we find that we can get wisdom by expecting or accepting reproof, by allowing those to correct us. You children, as mom and dad correct you, you can obtain wisdom by accepting that reproof and that correction. Proverbs 15:31. We can, in Jeremiah 3:15, we can get wisdom from the man of God, the God's given pastor. Psalms 19, verse 7, we can get wisdom from reading God's word. Proverbs 13:20, we can get wisdom by walking, following after godly wise men, maybe a godly father or a godly grandfather or grandmother or mother, as someone who has lived life before us. And that's where children that, get to the age, and I was there. I remember being 15, 16, 17-year-old, thinking I had the whole world figured out, that I, as we claim that verse, I know more than all my teachers in Psalms 99, thinking, oh, I've got this. I remember being at that age. But the older I get, the more I'm understanding, the less I know. Boy, I didn't have it all figured out. Boy, there's a lot more that to life than I really thought I had all planned out. Understanding that mom and dad, they've been your age before. And I know young people, teenagers, and when they're about thinking, mom and dad, what do they know? How can they relate to me? Listen, they've been 15, 16, 17 years old. They've been 12, 13, 14. And before you want to roll your eyes and think that mom and dad don't know anything about what it's like to be a kid or a teenager, understand they've been your age. And they've been through their young adult age. And they've been and through the years of raising you. They know a little bit more than you think they do. Because they've had more time to read God's word. They have had more time to listen to sermons. They've had more time to get wisdom from God's word and from walking and following after wise men or women. We should be constantly asking God for wisdom in this life, because all of us need wisdom when it comes to money. Boy, if you're like me, I remember as a kid, man, if I got a dollar, it was burning a hole in my pocket. I could not get it out of my pocket fast enough. I wanted to spend it. Just today, we are doing a little something through in our home. We try different things, and after a couple of weeks, we got to try something else, because sometimes things get old and they're no longer exciting. But we're selling, I'm printed up little coupons that we can use for our kids to stay up. And they can earn these coupons by doing chores or doing special things like cleaning the car, washing the car, all the wonderful things in which we want to bribe our kids to do. And with those coupons, they can earn, they have to pay for their TV time through these coupons. They can stay up. Now, I put a limit on it because I knew this would come back to bite me if I didn't. But they can pay up to 1 hour that they can stay up later than their regular bedtime. And, of course, we set their bedtimes accordingly. But there's things in which they can earn. So my youngest two bartered and traded 5 hours for $5. I'm thinking, well, that's a pretty good deal. You know, you get some jobs and you earn that money or coupons, then you sell it to another sibling. So that $5 was burning a hole in Madison's pocket. She got to the church. She wanted to buy the few bits of candy that were still in the vending machine. She's like, I'll pay you back when I get home. I'm like, no. Everything that I think three different times today, she's wanting to spend that money. And originally they wanted to put it towards buying some squishies. I don't know what those are, but the kids do, a bag of squishies. But they were going to originally raise that money. Then the older kids talked about going to Arby's, and they're like, oh, okay, let's go there. And then I thought you were going to save it. Well, not anymore. It just went from one thing to another. She's like me. Boy, when I was a kid, I had a dollar. I wanted to spend it. Well, you're going to need wisdom. Because someday, teenagers, you're going to want a car. You're going to need to put gas in that car. You're going to need to pay for the insurance of that car. And there's a lot of things more to life than just buying the next thing that you want. Because we've got to be wise with our money. We've got to have wisdom with our relationships, so we don't ruin those relationships with those in which we around us. Those are the lost in which we try to keep our foot in the door and keep a good testimony to try to reach them with the gospel. We need wisdom in parenting and leading others, or even in doing God's will. Trying to keep the snares and the traps of this world from falling, getting us to fall out of the race in which God has for our life. We need wisdom. And wisdom is available to the child of God who wants it. Look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. Proverbs 18, 1. Now, I already have my Bible marked, so I'm already there. But Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1 says, Through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Desire of a man. You know, there's got to be a desire. We can't expect to have wisdom if we don't want it. I remember my basketball coach, he would come into the locker room, especially during halftime, if maybe we were down. And, of course, he'd talk about giving it our all and giving our heart, but he'd also say, you've got to want it. If you don't have that desire to want it, then you might as well just pack up and leave. There's got to be that desire. We must desire. Say, well, I want wisdom. Well, then there needs to be a desire for wisdom. There needs to be a desire and a hunger that we will go and we will ask for it of God daily as we seek Him in every direction of our life. Proverbs 1:6, of course, says that to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. You know, as I've said before, wisdom is knowledge plus understanding. And if we are going to be like the Lord, of course, as a Christian, we are to look less like us and more like Him every day. We are to take on the reflection of Him, the personality of Him, and the traits of our fathers. Of course, as we do that physically, the other day, we were like, man, I sound just like my father in something I say or something I do. And that's a good thing. I love my father and I want to copy my father. But we as Christians should do the same in the area of copying or emulating what our Heavenly Father is. And He is all truth, and our words should be truth, but our words should be also seasoned with grace and filled with wisdom. As a man of wisdom is one who knows and lives what he understands. It's one thing to say something, but it's a whole other thing to say it and do it. It's a whole other thing to say it and to be it. We can't just go through life and say, well, just do it because I said so. Well, at some point, our children are going to get old enough to where that no longer works. We've got to lead by example. Our words and our actions need to be filled with wisdom. And words of true wisdom come from the lips of someone who fears the Lord in Proverbs 9:10. And for one to speak wise words, it must first come from a wise heart. Because the Bible says what's in here is going to come out here. You know, they're connected. Now, maybe not in the literal sense, they're not connected, but what's in our heart, our emotions, our feelings, what we say, you know, when someone says something, well, I didn't mean it. Well, in order for you to say it, there must have been some truth because our heart is connected to our mouth. And if wise words are going to come from our mouth, it must first be in our heart. Someone say, oh, I'm sorry, I slipped up. I didn't mean to say that. Well, it means it was in order for it to come here, it must have first been here. You know, I've been around a lot of truck drivers in my life. Now, of course, I've been around some sailors, and they have some choice words. And we used to have one of our rules on the sailor buses. We'd bring sailors down to the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and feed them a meal, have them stay over and go to church. And we'd have a little. We'd have all these different rules. One of the rules, there was no swearing unless you're on fire. And we'd do the little siren, of course, trying to let them know, unless there's an emergency going on, there's no reason to ever curse. When I was around some different truck drivers at my job in college, of course, there were certain people I know I never wanted to be around because everything that came out of their mouth was foul. But as you go through life, if we're slipping up or we're saying words, it's because it's in here. Just because you hear it in here doesn't mean it's got to come out here. The reason it only comes out here is if it first gets itself down to here. What's in our heart will come out. And for us to speak words of wisdom, to be more like our Heavenly Father, we need a wise heart because it's what our tongue reveals what's in our heart. That's why as parents, we listen to the tones or the things in which our children say because it's a revealer of what's going on inside. And we know that something's wrong because of how they said it or why they said it. Maybe sometimes we get onto our kids. It's not what they say, but it's how they say it. and thinking, oh, let's stop here. And thinking, what? As we're trying to, of course, they're playing ignorant and innocent and not understanding, but we're trying to get a hold of the fact they've just revealed a piece of their heart. And if we're going to be filled with words of wisdom, we need to be filled with a heart of wisdom and seeking after wisdom. Because there's a difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. Man's wisdom will teach that you follow your heart. You do what makes you happy. You just go through the motions. You obey all the rules. You make everybody happy. And you can just go through life and do what you want. Man's wisdom tries to tell you that everyone can become, super famous if you'll just do this, this, and this, or if you can put a ball through a hoop, or all of these things. We cannot follow man's wisdom, but we must seek and follow after God's, because the world is in need of Christians. The world doesn't need another movie star to set a standard or set a trend or to set a fashion. The world doesn't need another politician to come and to lead the way in our society. No, the world needs Christians who are filled with the wisdom of God. Your coworkers need to have you as a born-again believer be filled with wisdom in the decisions in which you make. So when they come and they ask you, well, what do you think about this? I don't know how many times as a truck driver, the other younger drivers that just gotten their license, they'd come and they knew I was a Christian, they knew I was going to Bible college, and they'd come and they'd say, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And I'm able to give them scripture and be able to give them wisdom because my mom and dad were wise as they raised me in a Christian home and in a Christian school and kept me in church. And every time there was a function going on where there was preaching as a teenager, they sent me. So I was able to get wisdom from the Word of God. Not that I'm a wise person, but I know where wisdom is found. And understanding that when we look to what this world needs, the world needs you to be wise. Your neighbors need you to be wise. Your family needs you to be wise. Your church needs you to be wise and filled with the wisdom of God. Because out of his mouth, as we read in Proverbs 2:6, that wisdom, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That's what wisdom is. It's knowledge and understanding. Taking knowledge as God has given us, the principles for life, and the understanding as we read it, apply it, and let the Holy Spirit speak to us and guide us and direct us so that we can live a life of wisdom. We're never going to be King Solomon. No, we're never going to be others in history that may have done great things for Christ, but you have a special task. God has a plan and a will for you can do. You have a life that in which you can reach people that I may never be able to reach. You have people, friends and relatives that I may never be able to help or to benefit. But God can use you in a great mighty way to touch and lead them and to be a blessing and encouragement and direct them in life. We can only do that through his book, through wisdom in which we apply to our hearts. As we understand more about the Lord, yes, the Lord is truth. Yes, the Lord is holy. Yes, the Lord is gracious and full of mercy. Yes, the Lord, but he's also wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. Doesn't matter how much we know. You can memorize and memorize and memorize, but if you do nothing with that, you know, wisdom is knowing what to do with knowledge. It's the understanding of knowledge. And how to handle situations or diffuse situations when you see a coworker or someone flying off the handle saying, okay, well, let's do this and let's diffuse this situation or let's handle it this way. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is knowing that the Bible tells us a soft answer turneth away wrath. So therefore, I shouldn't reply back with an evil tone or maybe even a text message. Sometimes texting is not the best way to communicate because in texting, you can't use tones. You can't use a soft voice and texting or even sometimes an email or words when you're debating someone or going through an argument. Sometimes it's not the best way to do it because you cannot interpret the interpretations left up to the reader. Wisdom is taking that and saying, okay, I'm going to reply softly. I'm going to diffuse this situation by being kind and sweet and loving like Christ would be and like he was to those that were beating him as he hung there on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You find Christ screaming and yelling. Boy, as we go through life, we can find wisdom from this, and we can only know it and apply it to our life if we first put it here. And it can't get here unless we allow it to soak in through our ears and our eyes. As we read it, we listen to it, and we apply everything from this book into our lives so we can be not as wise as God, but wise as God wants us to be. Everything that we need in this life, he's given us right here in this book. But many walk through life without that wisdom, seeking and saying, oh, I wish God would do this for me. I wish God would give me wisdom. But we never open these pages. We never listen to the words of God and allow them to fill us and to help us to be like God wants us to be. So the next time we think, oh, God made a mistake. God made me like this. God didn't make me this. Or God didn't put me in that home. Understand, God didn't make any mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. He can't make mistakes. He's holy. He's perfect. He's truth. But he's also wisdom. He's never done anything foolish. So if God, in what we think God might have made a mistake, my niece Emily has Down syndrome. By the time she was 4 years old, she had open heart surgery. She had surgery on her knees. She's got screws in her knees and her ankles. I remember she could never really crawl. She kind of scooched across the floor. She had surgeries on her mouth and all the things that I remember as a teenager when she was born or a young college student, I'm thinking, man, you know, why did God make her like that? Thinking, you know, kind of the thoughts that maybe God, you know, why didn't you make her perfect? Thinking, you know, more like us, that we are the level of perfection, but God made her the way she is, perfect. God didn't make a mistake. God knew exactly what he was doing. And when we think, oh, why do I have this? God made you just the way he did. You look at the disciples as they dealt with the blind man or the lame man saying, Lord, who sinned? No, it wasn't because someone sinned. It's because God made him perfect the way he was. Because God's wise. In God's wisdom, he never makes a foolish decision. So the next time we make a foolish decision, the next time we say, oh, I wish I would, may it be a reminder to understand and remember, well, Lord, I'm glad I've got you who never makes a foolish decision, who never makes an unwise decision. And if God's called you to serve him, he hasn't made a foolish decision. You can do it. Think, oh, God's called me to teach a Sunday school class or do this. I can never do that. Boy, that was my whole life thinking, Lord, I can never pastor. I can never, you know, God's not foolish in his choices. And so just understanding a little bit more about the Lord and understanding as we face a situation, we don't have wisdom. Let's ask because we know all wisdom comes from him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for all you've done. I pray that you please continue.